Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House!
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah.
I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. Disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Thursday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I feel like we say this a lot. There are a lot of different news stories that are breaking out there as the chaos continues to build as we move towards Election Day on November 5th. We are, what, 6 weeks and a week away from official Election Day on November 5th. And Trump is in court in New York City. He had a incredible reception from construction workers early this morning in New York City before he went into court. We will discuss that, including Trump saying that he thinks he can actually win New York and that he's going to have a big rally at Madison Square Garden. I will say the reception that he got from construction crew workers and the reception that he got in Harlem, it's pretty incredible how well he's being received in New York City. We will discuss that. But the biggest story, by the way, there's several other things that I'm fired up about this. I don't know that anybody else cares. There's an all-time low for babies being born in the United States. I don't know, Buck, if you pay attention to this. I know you and Carrie are married, and
we're working on yeah. Number one. And yes. And you know, one thing we talk about is that we wish that we had met each other sooner. People used to ask me, like, why didn't I get married until I was 40? I was just waiting to meet the right person. I met the right person.
Yeah.
And, you're good to go. But we both agree. I mean, I think it would have been really nice to have met younger and started a family sooner. I mean, I think the you getting three kids, Dolan, in your late 20s, early 30s.
I was 28 when my first was born.
And people, so I say all that just because I understand I don't want this to ever be a do as I say, not as I do thing. But I think a lot of you listening who have families, some of you are not just parents, but grandparents, you already know this. Clay, we need a whole societal rethink about the way it goes. And I know we've got the big Supreme Court argument all
yes.
morning, and we're going to spend a lot of time on that. But just, I think this is critically important. Elon Musk is a very outspoken voice on this as well. Now, he has like 9 kids with a few different women. That I'm a big Elon fan.
Honestly, I'm going to give him a pass. We should have a fun conversation about this. I'm going to give him a pass because he's a genius. And I think geniuses should have as many kids as possible because their kids could save the world. So I'm giving him a pass. In general, I think people should be married to one person.
I think it's good that we say that. I think we're both giving Elon a pass for a number of reasons on this. And one is, I think he's doing more to keep freedom and Western civilization alive than, you know, you could argue him and Trump. I mean, you know, you start to look at who's at the top of that list. Anyway, We should be having more kids. There needs to be a rethink of the paradigm that has been out that I grew up with. I'll just tell you, especially in cities, it's different. Obviously, you have three kids. You got married younger. Clay, if you grow up in New York, in L.A., in Chicago, in any number of these cities, or you move to them when you're a young adult, it's get as far as you can in your career and don't even think about getting married until you're 35 or 40.
It's
very common. And the numbers show this. It's not the way to do it. We should have families younger, and that would be one thing that I would do differently if I could. But I have to meet Carrie 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, the headline, I give credit to the Wall Street Journal for actually covering this, and we will circle back and have a discussion, but the total fertility rate in the United States fell to 1.62 births per woman in 2023. That's a 2% decline. That is the lowest fertility rate on record since the United States began tracking this in the 1930s. Children are ultimately a vote on a positive belief for the future. That is what kids represent, babies in particular represent. And so the fact that fertility is at a 100-year low, we've never had it this low since the United States began to track it, is, I think, a really bad sign. But I think this is a huge topic.
I think it creates a lot of also societal dysfunctions. I think that people, and look, some people can't be parents. Some people choose not to be parents, you know, and there's a whole range of, and those are all fine. People get to choose their life path. But as a society, we should be fruitful and multiply. Like, as a society, we should be having more children, and it doesn't get talked about enough. I think it also goes into, you know, we're very quick to point out China's one child policy is horrific and inhumane, and it absolutely is. I mean, you add up that I think something like 60 million babies have been aborted since Roe v. Wade. We actually needed more people. We actually need, I mean, put aside the morality of the lives, and I mean, that's obviously critical, but I'm just saying demographically and as a society, America needs more Americans. This is a real thing.
Yes. And if you have the luxury to be able to take care of kids, I mean, I wish I had more, but I'm happy to have three, but I wish I had more. But all-time low for babies. All right, let's go into the Supreme Court case on presidential immunity. I think, is it still ongoing? Are they still asking questions right now? I think it's close. Basically, it's been going on for the last couple of hours. And Buck, I thought it went well for Trump, better than I expected. My now prediction for what's going to happen in this case is, and maybe I should take a step back and explain exactly what's going on. Essentially, the Supreme Court is considering a kind of a two-front question. One, can a president be prosecuted for actions that took place while he was in office? Second part of that, if he can, what is the extension of presidential powers? In other words, let me give you an example that I think everybody, Republican, Democrat, Independent, would agree with. If a president orders a missile strike on a terrorist organization in the Middle East, and the missile strike misses and hits someone else, the International Court of Human Rights law cannot charge the president of the United States with murder and try to drag him in to The Hague and put him in prison for that. That would be within the scope of his powers. Similarly, if, let's say, the Waco raid, which I think was totally botched, president orders the raid to take place at Waco, Department of Justice, FBI, everybody bungles it. The intent there is not to commit a murder. The president, I don't believe, could be prosecuted for murder based on the way that act took place, right? I think in general, that would be an example. I tried to use one international, one national, because this has to do with particular national action as opposed to international behavior. But you would agree, I think, in general with that. That's within the scope of powers.
If we kind of build up from the foundation of what both sides agree on, and then you can narrow it down to where the dispute is, right? Both sides, Sauer and Dreeben. Sauer was Trump's lawyer. Dreeben was a special counsel. Counsel to the, so he's like a super special counsel.
Yes.
He's counsel to the special counsel.
He's basically a ringer for the argument.
Right. So Sauer and Dreeben, they made the argument. So Sauer's Trump's guy. By the way, I thought he was very sharp and very good. He did not seem flustered or to stumble to me one time listening this morning. But the thing they agree on, Clay, right, is that there are private acts for which a president absolutely is criminally liable and has no immunity. So to what we had discussed, if you bludgeon your secretary with a candlestick in the Oval Office.
Correct.
And she's on the ground, it's, you don't get to say, well, I'm the president. Like, no, you yes. are criminally liable. And there's no question about that. So then it's okay. There are official acts. Man, I said this. This is a little bit like with police have qualified immunity, right? They have a specific immunity while they're acting as police officers. As long as they don't break the law and they're acting in good faith, you can't just like sue a prosecutor or a police officer. I mean, you might, but it'll get thrown out right away. You have no grounds unless they've done something that violates their oath. You can't say, I'm suing this prosecutor because they're prosecuting me, right? That's not because I disagree with their judgment. So we get into the private versus public act distinction. And that's where this started to get really interesting because
fascinating.
Really, it seemed to me that the anti-Trump side, Dreeben's side, the DOJ side under Biden, was saying that even if you're doing something that could be construed as an official act, but you're doing it for an illicit purpose, a wrongful purpose, and no
wrong
you're doing
reasons,
it for,
as they would say on The Bachelor. You're yes. here for the wrong reasons.
You're here for the yes. wrong reasons. That's right. Yes. You know, you are not getting a rose for this one.
Yes.
If that is the case, you can still be held criminally liable for it. What I thought was really interesting was immediately Sauer was kind of countering this by saying, well, hold on a second. First of all, if a president can even be forced to go into a court and defend against these things, meaning if it's even possible to indict a president for official acts because of corrupt purpose in the official act, not anything that is done that is illegal explicitly, but because you don't like his reasons for doing it, then you can just constantly throw a president, you know, you can have prosecutors throwing presidents into the courthouse over and over again. The whole thing is a mess. So then we get into the narrowed position, Clay, and, you know, correct me or add in here anything if I'm missing it of, well, what about a situation where the president knows that what he's doing is wrong? We can prove he knew what he was doing was wrong, but the act itself doesn't violate, or the act itself, rather, would fall under a presidential power. That's where it's like, ooh, interesting. Am I missing anything here?
No, I think this is one of the most fascinating, difficult, and important Supreme Court cases maybe on presidential powers that we've ever seen. It may be the most important. And
there's really no Supreme Court precedent on this specific issue, right?
That's right.
They are forming our constitutional understanding with this decision.
And really what I think they're going to say, Buck, is, so the easy way to describe this is they're trying to figure out where the line is between permissible and impermissible acts as it goes to a president. We gave two examples. Your example, if the president picks up a paperweight and murders his secretary, that's not a presidential act, right? But if a president here with Trump says peacefully go up to the Capitol and it turns into January 6th, like, and he makes telephone calls to try to figure out whether or not the election was or was not on the up and up, where is the line where he could be prosecuted? I think what they're going to say, and by the way, I'm kind of tiptoeing up to this a little bit because I'm hedging, I guess. I think it's possible they're going to say this was not criminal. And 5-4, they say he can't be prosecuted for this. And they're not even going to say where the exact line is. But I think it's possible they look at this and say, it's possible the president can be prosecuted. This doesn't rise to that level. This is protected act within the penumbra, basically,
of
his powers.
Okay, so you're going with, just to be clear, you're going with grand slam, home run for Trump, upper deck, because that's the best possible scenario. 5-4,
they could make that decision. I think what they're going to do is say, we're not sure. The president does have some powers. We're not sure whether this violates it. We're going to throw it back to the trial court, and we need the trial court to analyze whether or not this is within the bounds of presidential powers.
That is what I feel very confident they are going to do. I think that after hearing the arguments today, I think door number two there, or possibility number two, is what they're going to do. But they will establish what is clear from the argument is presidents can't do anything. So that was a little bit of a, people were saying, well, the president is not in fact just above the law as a general
Correct.
Concept.
Now, yes,
that terminology
Nobody
is
really
not helpful.
Nobody really bought that. I don't even know
no
if there's
really
any vote.
That.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that the president, a president can be prosecuted. So a president can't go out and just like murder a bunch of people in D.C. because he's having a bad day. and then say, well, I'm the president. You can't do anything about it. That's actually not what.
Yes.
And neither side holds that, to be clear. It's just when the president is doing president stuff. And we have to be able to determine.
And presently in office, this is important, too, because it doesn't carry on after he's out of office. Right. Yeah.
But if he's doing president stuff while he is in office, unless he commits an illegal act, which would then fall under private, this is where they get into bribery. Right. Bribery to appoint a ambassador was one of the areas they really dug into. So if somebody says, hey, I want to be ambassador to what would be your favorite country to be ambassador to?
That's a fantastic question.
You know, I think Austria would be really cool. I mean, England would obviously be awesome. That'd be easy.
England.
Yeah.
And maybe if you just really want, like, the Bahamas is probably not a bad place to be an ambassador.
I feel like
you don't have any real power there after a while.
But
Australia would be pretty great.
So if my friend Clay Travis decides, you know what? I don't like doing this huge radio show. I just want to go and chill. I'm going to give a bag of $10 million to future president so-and-so to become the ambassador to Turks and Caicos. If he were to do this,
I'd be in prison quickly there, probably, with the amount of guns.
Well, you'd get a long prison sentence there. But if he were to do this, clearly the bribery is a criminal act, even though it has to do with a presidential prerogative. So this is how they're trying to separate it out. The problem that they run into with the Trump situation is there's no him saying, you know, and we're getting into the details of the whole electors and you know, election challenge. The electors election challenge, just because they don't like it and they don't like the judgment Trump exercised in it, if it falls under a presidential power, they're saying he can't be prosecuted for it. Sort of like, you know, if the president lies to the American people and gets us into a war, for example, not prosecutable.
Yeah.
Because the lie is not a crime. If the president's like, you know, I think these guys are going to attack us tomorrow and he said, all right, we're running.
This is important, but also factoring in here is if the president really does something so egregious, that's what impeachment exists for. So the idea that the president is not accountable is, I think, the impeachment power exists for that exact reason. But this is, I mean, an unbelievably important and incredibly fascinating and significant case to be resolved, regardless of Trump, because it'll apply for every president for the rest of time.
AI-based companies, my friends, they're getting a lot of attention. Look what's happened over the last 12 months or so with some of those big AI stocks. They've gone to the moon. Few writers and editors like Mark Chaykin cover these companies so closely. And Wall Street knows that there are big moves down the line, but which direction? Well, you know, Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years before he focused full-time on becoming a writer to bring you the most incisive, straight-through-the-noise information possible about market shifts, including AI stocks and all the hype around it. You got to know what to do to get in on this. Mark says most Americans are about to miss out on a critical turning point in this AI frenzy. He says this is a new dawn for U.S. stocks and predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days' time. Go to 2024AIstock.com right now. Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. You can watch for free. 2024AIstock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
The voices of sanity in an insane world. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
All right, welcome back. Clay and Buck here. Supreme Court argument still going. We'll bring you the latest on that. More deep diving into whether Trump's immunity claims will be upheld or what does this mean for the prosecution, the DOJ, J6 trial, a lot of stuff. But just take a moment here. Trump saying that he thinks he is putting New York, the state of, in play for this election. Listen to this, play nine.
We're very close in New York, I understand, and we're leading in the country by a lot. Poll just came out a little while ago, as you saw yesterday, that we're up in every swing state and up by a lot in every swing state. So I think we're going to do very well, and we're going to make a play for New York. I just heard there was a very good poll came out. Normally, a Democrat will win New York. Biden is the worst president in history, and we have some very bad people here, but we have the greatest people, and they're right behind me. And they all want us to run, and we're gonna run very hard in New York. New York, we have a good chance of winning New York, in my opinion, but we're going to give it a shot.
That's a bold statement, but you know what, Clay? We should have our friend Mark Simone, Mr. New York, on 710 WOR. We'll have him on to ask him about this one, because I think he thinks Trump is serious. They're going to actually maybe spend some time and money in New York.
Well, he's got to spend a lot of time and money in New York because they're prosecuting him. It would be crazy if that managed to actually put New York in play in some way. For years now, Pure Talk's offered their cell phone service for just $20 a month. For $20, you get a month of unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data, same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. When you switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk, you're saving $50 or $60 a month or more. Average size family will save almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts or activation fees. And when you switch to Pure Talk, you keep your phone number and your phone. Their U.S.-based customer service team will make the switchover process easy. Make the switch today, in fact, and you can save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values and who creates American jobs. Dial pound 250, say the keywords Clay and Buck, and make the switch today. That's pound 250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. One more time, from your phones, dial pound 250, say Clay and Buck.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. On the front lines of truth.
Okay, let's dive back into the Supreme Court case right now on presidential powers that is currently being heard. This is really important, and I don't know that you will hear it enough as it pertains to discussion surrounding this. I understand that all the bright lights are flashing. Trump, 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 and everybody is focused on the particular aspects of this case as it pertains to Donald Trump. But here is what I would tell you, I guarantee, is a huge consideration of the Supreme Court. The precedent that is being set here. I've used this aphorism before on the show because I think it applies so well, particularly in this point in time where everything it feels is so monumental and massive in stake. We have this sort of goldfish era view of history where everything is the biggest thing that's ever happened, and you have to take a step back and contemplate where it actually stands in history. And let me give you an example that came out today. Harvey Weinstein's conviction in New York City got tossed. A lot of you may not have seen this. The Me Too case against Harvey Weinstein that everybody focused on in New York, the rape sexual assault conviction of Harvey Weinstein, tossed. Does not exist anymore. It's going to have to go back to trial. Now, he was convicted in Los Angeles, too, so he will remain in prison based on the conviction in Los Angeles. But if they hadn't convicted him in Los Angeles, Buck, he would walk free. Harvey Weinstein, who everybody decided was the worst human being who had ever existed, the New York Court of Criminal Appeals looked at the evidence and said, this was the trial judge handled this inappropriately. There was evidence introduced, and I'm summarizing, evidence introduced that should not have been, and his conviction is tossed.
Egregiously wrong, yes. I believe, was what the judge found, or the appeals court found on this. And I would just note, and this is by no means I can't even remember. All I know is Harvey Weinstein. It's interesting, isn't it? What do I remember of Harvey Weinstein? Bad, abusing women. I can't remember the specifics of what he did. It was years ago, right? Or what he allegedly did. But I do know that it was absolutely peak Me Too moment. And even if you have somebody who is guilty, and you know, whether Harvey Weinstein's really, you know, he's been found guilty a couple times. I think he probably is guilty of some very bad things. But even when you have somebody who's guilty, you're not supposed to stack the deck.
Yeah.
And even me as a non-lawyer knows, hold on a second, they let other women testify at his rape trial that had nothing to do with the rape that he was being tried for? Like, you know, you can just be somebody who watches Law and Order and be like, I don't think that's how this goes. You can't introduce other testimony for completely, you know, irrelevant incidents to the incident that you're on trial for like that. And clearly,
the appeals court, true. There's an exception if the act is so specific in nature that it's an evidentiary issue. They blew it. Okay, so on that case, I don't even know that they needed the additional testimony either.
It's a huge deal for the appeals court to say we're overturning a jury verdict in another case and saying he needs a new trial. So they didn't blow this by a little bit is my point. Yeah. They blew this one big time.
And what's also important about this, did you hear anybody predict that they were going to overturn this case? Nobody would even defend hardly Harvey Weinstein because they were afraid that they would get tainted with the Me Too assertion. So if you even said, hey, regardless of what you think about Harvey Weinstein, we need a precedent and procedure that is applied evenly to all criminal defendants, even if they are accused of heinous acts. And I go back to, was it John Adams defended the Boston Tea Party massacre, guys? That is a historical precedent that everybody, even people accused of heinous acts, deserve the protections of the court. So the reason why I bring this up is the Supreme Court is, yes, Trump matters, but the Supreme Court is looking far beyond Trump. And they are saying whatever law we craft here is going to be used against every president for the rest of our lives. And so if we say Trump can be prosecuted for these acts which occurred while he was in office that he claims are directly related to the powers of the presidency, other prosecutors are going to use this case to prosecute future presidents for acts that occurred while they were in office. And so I think what's going on here is, I think the Supreme Court, you remember the Thomas Jefferson saucer cooling? The idea was the Senate, when
the
in
Senate
his famous
where it goes to chill out. Yeah, sure.
I think the Supreme Court is going to try to chill this out. And I think what they're going to say is they're going to say president clearly has powers to avoid criminal prosecution. We are going to say something like 5-4, although it may be 6-3, that we're going to toss this back without making specific factual evidentiary findings here back to Chutkan to guarantee basically that this case does not get decided before voters go out and are able to make choices in November for Trump. So based on the hearing this morning, and I think it's still going on. So again, we're alive on the air, so there could be questions that change my perceptions on this. But based on what I listened to this morning, I think that there is increasingly a highly unlikely chance that any other case is even close to going to a jury for a verdict other than New York before this. And Buck, looking at the Harvey Weinstein case, I'll reiterate, I think whatever verdict, if Trump is found guilty in New York, I think in 2 years or 3 years, I think it's going to get tossed in New York City as well. I'm cautiously optimistic based on the Supreme, the Court of Appeals in New York being willing to weigh in here and even defend Harvey Weinstein's procedural safeguards. I'm more convinced that this is going to get tossed on appeal regardless of what happens here. So I think this is a very good day for Trump, but I think it's important to remember that while everybody's focused right now, the bright, shiny lights are Trump, there are presidents for the next 100 years, 200 years, hopefully 1,000 years of American life that will be held accountable based on the decision that the Supreme Court makes on this case.
It's also the case that you could have, if this were to be, let's just say, wrongly decided, and this was part of the discussions the court was having this morning, if it was wrongly decided, which I don't think is going to happen, but it would result in a situation where the political opposition could effectively nullify any presidency they want to. I mean, they could, like the Lilliputians against Gulliver, just tie you down with endless petty prosecutions because of state of mind corruption for even official acts, right? So this is where you get to the people who would say things like Bush should be tried for war crimes.
Yeah.
If Bush could be tried for war crimes, meaning, you know, pushing for war in Iraq or whatever, the presidency is effectively over. And the people that shout those things don't really think that through, but that's the reality. If you could try somebody for, I don't like the decision they made, and I think they made it for the wrong reasons, but what they did was in the scope of presidential decision making, the presidency is over. I mean, those are the, you know, the stakes, not yes. just for Trump, but to your point about the precedent. So it, that's why I think you're right. They're going to try to cool things down. And I think they're going to try to, you know, take minimal steps here, narrowly tailor things from the Supreme Court on down, because you go too far in one direction. What is off the table now from the Democrat point of view? They've already got four prosecutions against Trump. We haven't even mentioned that Arizona just released another version of like the, yeah. Fake electors prosecution, and they've named Mark Meadows, the chief of staff under the Trump White House, the whole cast. I can't remember all their names, like a dozen of them.
Yes.
I think someone from Turning Point is mentioned in this even. Like, they've got all these people
yeah.
that are being prosecuted by the state AG of Arizona. They left Trump out, but he's an unindicted co-conspirator. They talk about unindicted co-conspirators. Clay, now it's a fifth criminal trial going on about 2020, and a fifth criminal trial timed and delayed for the timing to happen in an election year.
In a swing state.
Exactly. In a swing state. So what is off the table for them now?
I think the other thing about this that we should mention on the Supreme Court, and by the way, it just ended. Julie Kelly is going to join us. She listened to the whole thing. She's been fantastic covering a lot of these cases. She's going to join us at 1:30 Eastern. So in the next hour, we'll get her read, having heard every minute of this, because you and I have been on the air for the last 45 minutes of the argument. Also mention this. This would end the Atlanta case. Even though the Atlanta case is a state prosecution, in addition to Jack Smith's charges that he brought in D.C., what they are considering in today's hearing would also basically knock out Atlanta in the state of Georgia, and it would knock out to a large extent, although Trump's not indicted himself, I think it would knock out to a large extent what's going on in Arizona. Now, those are state cases, so what you would have is New York City pre-exists. I think it's garbage. I think it'll get tossed on appeal. New York City is pre-exist the crime there, and the crime in South Florida allegation is a post-presidential crime. Now, I don't think that one's going to go either, but again, I think the biggest takeaway here, and we'll hear from Julie, is I don't think there's any way that the federal charges cases are going to happen before we all go vote November 5th.
So I was interested while we were in the break, I just wanted to note that the back to the Harvey Weinstein thing, because that, can we just say, if we didn't have Trump Supreme Court going on, Trump in on trial in New York City going on, Arizona state AG prosecuting Trump associates for the Harvey Weinstein reversal.
It's a huge story. It yes.
would be a huge story on any yes. other day. But I looked this up, Clay, because to the point you're making, I was just saying, if you're just a Law and Order watcher, you would kind of know they're very, they call them a Molyneux, like Molyneux exceptions.
Yeah.
Or rather, the Molyneux precedent and the exceptions of it. It would be you can introduce evidence for a crime not charged to establish motive, intent, the absence of mistake, a common scheme or plan embracing the commission. I think this is you were getting to of two or more crimes related to each other.
Yeah. So it's a weird attempt. You're trying. It's generally would be hearsay, right? It would be not permissible to introduce this evidence.
But they allowed it. The point is, even reading these exceptions. No, they just, this guy was like the pinnacle of Me Too, and he's a disgusting, horrible human being, and the judges were like, you know, bury him under the prison, basically.
And I think I'm correct. I haven't, let's be honest, I have not paid a ton of attention to the Harvey Weinstein cases ever, but certainly not in years. I believe that also is an example of them changing the statute of limitations in New York, because I think a lot of the charges they brought, they were able to bring back.
This is in the decision
they
too.
Redid
this
is, it, right?
This Supreme Court decision is actually, I did a rapid scan. How fast can you read one of these things? I tried it in about 3 minutes. But they did get into English common law and the difference between the French system and the English system, for anybody who wants to know. In the French system, all of you is on trial. So anything, you know, you were a bad, bad person 20 years ago, you do something today, that can be introduced because it goes to what kind of a person you are. English common law says no, only the offense that you are charged for. But then we get into Molyneux and these exceptions, right? The time barring issue, they address that specifically, and they've decided that he was outside the state for long enough periods of time during that period of time.
Oh, that's such that garbage.
I knew you weren't going to like that one.
I don't agree with the general idea of a statute of limitations is people's memory gets way worse over time.
And also, you can't defend yourself over a period
correct.
Of time. And the only There's exception no to this really is murder, and then there are a bunch of other, like, high federal crimes. But honestly, even a lot of those high federal crimes, if you looked at them, like, very hard to defend yourself up against an espionage charge from, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the E. Jean Carroll's a great example. They don't know when the year was. They don't know. Like, how do you defend yourself from an allegation that has no rooting in particular time and place? If you say, hey, whoever you are listening out there right now, you sexually assaulted me at some point in the last 20 years. And you're like, well, where? Well, we're not sure. What year? We're not sure. Well, how what about witnesses? There are none. What are you talking about? Like, the idea that you could do this and just toss the statute of limitations is crazy to me.
This is the Kavanaugh
yes,
effect,
100%,
the Kavanaugh move.
Yeah.
And even though it wasn't successful.
But at least he wasn't prosecuted in that case. It's still garbage.
Right.
But they,
I mean,
actually,
they tried to ruin his life.
Yeah, they prosecuted the guys over this.
Yeah. Anyway, 800-282-2882. We'll take your calls. A lot of interesting stuff going on today. You know, Mother's Day is coming up, everybody. Clay, it's May 12th, right? 12th,
I got. I don't know. You got me nervous now.
Clay,
I'm pulling
come
up
on,
the
dude,
clock. I'm pulling up the calendar.
You're the veteran in this game, man. 20 years of marriage.
May 12th. It is. Sunday, May 12th.
Thank
yes.
you. Whew. Okay, good. Mother's Day, May 12th. What can you do for Mother's Day? I'm going to take all the stress off your shoulders. Legacy Box. Legacy Box takes all your stored videotapes, photos, film, and other media and digitizes it onto brand new digital files. It's a great gift for any mom, any grandma in your life. You want to get them Legacy Box as a gift. This Mother's Day, they're going to make it easy for you. 60% off their regular prices. And if you haven't done this yet, I'm telling you, you're good to go. Well, what are you doing for Mother's Day? Oh, I'm doing Legacy Box for Mother's Day. Good to go. Maybe you want to also throw some flowers in there. That's up to you. But Legacy Box has got you covered. LegacyBox.com/buck. 60% off their regular prices. I know you're thinking, is this a good Mother's Day gift? It's an amazing Mother's Day gift. But get the box now. You fill it up when you want. You send it back. And they are so precise and they're so good in this whole process about telling you at each step of the way, and you get your originals back, and they actually wrap them really nicely. It's kind of a fun surprise. 1.5 million families have already trusted Legacy Box. Clay's family, my family. Do this for Mother's Day. Do it now, though, because they'll send it to you. You can actually get stuff back in time for Mother's Day if you act fast. Go to LegacyBox.com/buck for 60% off. LegacyBox.com/BUCK for the best Mother's Day sale ever.
You don't know what you don't know, right? But you could on the Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck podcast.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and frauds to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from selected past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look, and HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Welcome back into Clay and Buck. Coming up, I'm going to have some updates for you on yet another campus in disarray. Georgia cops, they're not messing around in Georgia, swooping in on Emory University as the anti-Israel protest. It's so interesting. I would want to ask them this too. They don't like it when they're called anti-Semitic for obvious reasons. They don't like even being called, I think, anti-Israel. What do they think they are protesting? Because really, they just object to everything Israel is doing in Gaza and to defend itself. But I wonder how they would self-describe. They're pro-Palestinian. That's what these protests, I guess, would be. Because then the distinction comes in with, well, are you pro-Hamas? But anyway,
yes.
I want to ask them, and I want to say, if you're pro-Palestinian, are you anti-Hamas? Because if you're anti-Hamas, I'm not hearing anything about that. But so if you're just pro across the board, aren't you kind of supportive of Hamas then too? There's some. I would have many questions, Clay. But they have a campus crackdown underway for sure. I can't believe with the music we went long. I was gonna. All right, let me gear up with some Crockett Coffee. CrockettCoffee.com. How many of you have subscribed? A lot. We need a lot more to subscribe, though, because I'm drinking it right now. It's absolutely delicious. Clay is wearing a Crockett t-shirt.
That's true.
That is how dedicated. Stand up for our VIP viewers a little bit so they can see that. Look at that. Look at that amazing logo. Look at the, Clay's been working out, everybody. Look at that.
I don't know. I'm trying to lose weight. I need to get back down to my playing weight. Trying to get back down to 175. I'm at 183.
175. So I got 8 pounds. I'd have like an 8-pack at 175. You get down to 175?
I do not have an 8-pack at 175, but that's where I'm trying to get back down to. 175 is the goal. I'm at 183. I got 8 pounds to go. Appreciate all of you. What do you got for us at the top of the next hour?
Campus craziness. Let's talk about it.
Perfect.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.